around then. Well, I was. Okay. Okay. And that's when it started. Okay. Yep. I was a bit wrong about then. So praise the Lord. Amen. God, don't you just love the Lord? Isn't he just been marvelous to you? So good to be back with you guys again. I am in the second chapter of the book of Revelation this morning. Revelations chapter 2, verse 1, and this is the King James Version. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's pray. Father, thanking you for the opportunity once again to stand before your children, but asking you now once again to hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that those looking would see your Son Jesus, that he being high and lifted up, that he would draw all men into himself. Confirm your word this day with signs and wonders, and we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen and amen. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on the subject, first agape or God's space, okay? First agape or God's space. Now, how many of you believe the Lord's coming? How many of you can look around and there's oh so many signs everywhere you look, war the nations, the homes, and on down the line. And the days of Lot, days of Noah, so on and so forth, are being fulfilled right before our eyes. And I told somebody not long ago over Mississippi, I said, first of all, I said, I'm not worried about where he brought me from, because I know he brought me out of Egypt and saved my soul. Can you say amen? I said, second of all, I am not worried about where he's taken me to, because he is fully able to take me into where my destiny lies in the name of Jesus. But how many of you know it's the in-between part that we got to worry about? Amen? What do you mean worry about? It's Sister Teresa has taught this morning and a Sunday school lesson. And basically she was saying it's the in-between time right now that we're worried about. In between the time I'm saved, I know I am. I know I'm going to heaven, because he promised me, but now's the time that I got to be extremely careful. Now, the Bible indicates that in the last days, one of the signs of the end time was going to be an unleashing of seducing spirits that will deceive the very elect, if it is possible, okay? And so I look around and I realize and I see some of my brethren and some of my colleagues that I have known for years, that all of a sudden it's like they just toss in the towel and quit and move back away from ministry and everything, and that's between them and God. But I find it this, when I start talking to them sometimes, the reason they are doing that is that they lose something on the inside. And Sister Teresa was talking about this morning. They lose something on the inside that causes them to live. Amen. And as a result of it, then they lose that. When you lose the life of God from in you, then bless your heart, you are in trouble. Because the Bible indicates that when he comes, we are going to behold him. Every eye is going to behold him, but there is going to be a trumpet sound. And the graves are going to get us open, and we which are alive and remain are going to be changed, and we're all going up with the Lord in the air. The Bible also indicates to you and I that two will be in the bed, one taken, one left in the field, one taken, one left. And I ask myself the question, what is the distinction between the two? What causes one to go and one to stay behind? You say, well, it's the salvation experience. Well, I think it goes a lot deeper than that. Now, I believe that when you hear the voice of God, that it recognizes and what's the life of God in you recognizes it and knows that it's God Almighty. Can you say amen? And I find that many in this hour don't know the voice of God. Everybody seems to be getting ready to leave to go to heaven, but nobody seems to know exactly what they're doing to get ready. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to Walmart, I get ready to go. I take all my sloppy tennis shoes and my old ragged pants and put me on a decent shirt, at least where they'll think I'm somebody, whether I am or not. And I make a difference. When you got ready to come to church this morning, you prepared and did different than what you normally do. We hope you took a bath and put on some deodorant. Okay? And so as you came, but yet when I see in the church world today, I look around and everybody is said they're getting ready, but nobody's doing anything different than what they've already done. Now, if everything is all right between you and the Lord, that's fine. Amen. But at the same time, I see a lacking of seducing spirits that are deceiving many in this hour. Now, here we realize as we begin to look at this chapter here, this is a church, in a New Testament church that's in the operation. And first of all, it indicates to you and I, he says, number one, he says, I know thy works, okay? In other words, he knows their works, and this is the works they have. He says, thou laborest, thou hast patience, thou canst not bear them which evil. All these things here that he is naming, that he is what we are teaching and striving for in our lives today. Am I right? I want to have patience. I want to have good works. I want to know what evil is and things of that nature. And we work a lifetime at it. And then all of a sudden he gets down to verse 4 and he talks about something is missing. That while this church, he goes on in verse 5, remember from whence thou art fallen. But then in verse 6 he talks about, that thou, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And so it is everything here, it is, they've got patience, they've got works, they've got faith, they've got a standard against evil. They're able to have discerning of who is right and who is wrong in the apostolic ministry. And as a result of it, they're just everything to me that I would want a church to have if I was a pastor of a church. Amen. As a Christian, it's what I would want them to have. But then all of a sudden, he recognizes something and he says that while you've been busy serving God, while you've been busy doing all these things, you have neglected something and you have lost something. He said, you have lost your first love. Amen. Now, the Bible indicates that in the last day, this is going to be a chronic problem in the church, that the many love of many is going to wax cold because of the day and the time, and well, because of iniquity, amen? Now, as a result of this, as we begin to look at this tonight, that life of God in you is how you respond to God. In other words, if you are alive and God speaks to you, something is going to happen. People ask me, Brother Ron said, how are we going to know Jesus when we get to heaven? The standard issue of the nail scars and the things nature, there are going to be thousands up there that's going to have nail prints in their hands and so on and so forth. But how many of you know at the same time you're going to know him the same way you know him when he walks in this service? A while ago, I felt a surge of the Holy Spirit go through, and I looked up, and hands was up in the air. Why? Because the life that is in you will recognize the life that is in God. Can you say amen? And therefore, we respond. Brother Scotty made mention of power and praise. That's why the life of God comes in alive in you, and you realize who you are in this thing and are able and certainly there's power and praise. Amen. Now, as a result of it, when I look at this, I look down at a word here, and it says, number one, He says, I know thy works, thy labors, okay? And he talks about the first works, okay? Now he says, thou hast borne, look in verse 4, he says, thou hast left, number one, thy first love. In verse 5, he talks about doing the first works over again, okay? Now, what do you hear? When I look at the word first, I realize that on the numeric alphabet, the number one is the only one that does not have any other thing to make it what it is. A two, you got to have a pair of ones. Three, you got to have a two and a one, or what, three ones. But when it comes to one, it's completely sufficient within itself, okay? Now, as God said and Jesus told and prayed for God to make us one as he and the Father are one, self-sufficient within ourselves, okay? Now, by this, I mean by the life of God in you has access to everything that's in the life of God, and therefore we can live abundantly and walk, as Brother Brad said, above the shadows and above the waves and have victory in the name of Jesus. But when you start losing that life of God within you, and then, well, let's go on with our message. First of all, let's look at the word first, number one. First, there's three definitions here. Number one, first in time. How many of you know that God is first in time? Hallelujah. Brother, he's first in time. He was here before time was ever created. Time was created for man and put an emphasis on it. And we're governed by time. We have numbered days to live. We have certain hours to do certain things and in church for certain time. And right in the middle of it, I look around sometime and I wonder if time is not my master, amen, because there's always something that you run out of time to do. You get up in the morning, you take off the work, and you're running late. You get there, the boss is on your case, amen, and now come home, and everybody is low traffic, and you're in a hurry to get home, and when you get home, bless your heart, you give out, and all of a sudden, about 11 o'clock, you go to bed, go to sleep, and happen to think about the fact that I didn't even take time to pray, because I was so busy today that I did not have time to pray. Has anybody ever got caught in that one? Amen. And I told Gloria one time, I said, if it's 48 hours in a day, I would still run late with time. Amen. Need more time. So we find ourselves getting to the point to where about 11 o'clock, our conscience begins to talk to us. The voice of God begins to talk to us. And we realize, I didn't pray before I left the bed. When all of a sudden you realize how tired you are, and you're laying there, and you hate to get up and go pray. I know what, God loves me. He can hear me laying right here flat on my back. So all of a sudden I stretch out, and I say, I'm going to pray. Anybody ever done that one? Now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to take. Hello? And you're sound asleep. The next morning you get up, and somehow things just aren't quite right with God like they were when you went to bed yesterday. Amen. Something happens to the life of God when you're disobedient unto him. Okay. Within you, I'll put it that way. We'll get to the part of the rest of it here in a few minutes. Now, the second thing you got to realize is that God is first in eternity. Amen. He is the head up there. Everybody talks about a dictator, a kingdom ruler. Well, we've got a dictator kingdom ruler. Only God dictates and rules in love and not fear and doubt and defeat. Amen. Thank God that we got a God that loves us and is willing to take us through eternity. Everybody in heaven, everything in heaven, from the Son and the Holy Ghost down, is subject to the will of the Father. He wants you to understand that when you die here, he is the first thing that's going to happen to you. You're not going to meet the devil first. Then that day comes, you're going to meet him first. So stand your ground and know that you've been born again by the power of God. Amen. Now, as you go on, it says here that he is first in eternity. He is first in space. You say, well, Brother Day, the stars, the moon, the heaven. Well, let me reference what I mean by that space, okay? Now, I've been in this church a lot of times, okay? And I've always noticed one thing, that my brother here, he sits right there in that space. Hello? That is his place. I notice nobody else gets in his place. Even his family moves over to give him his place. And the place he is sitting is his space. Your spirit is God's space in your life. Okay? It's where he leads you from, guides you from, directs you from. Everything you receive from God, you receive into your spirit, and then it comes out into the flesh. That's where the warfare takes place, is the enemy trying to stop it from manifesting in your miracle. Amen. Now, as a result of it, what happens is he's over there, and he's a good brother. He goes to church, he's faithful, and he's praying for God to use him. Hello? And all of a sudden, as he's praying to God to use him, I'm looking over here, and I'm God. And I look over there, and I say, you're sitting in my space. Now, Brother Scotty worded it a little ago, obeying God. When God speaks to you, the obedience, that means you are in his space, and he wants his space out of you. He wants his place back in you, amen? So what do I do? My brother is praying. I love him. He loves me. And all of a sudden, we're taking and going back and forth. And he's praying, God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. I want to use him. I want to use him greater than he wants to be used. But I've only got one problem. He's sitting in my space. He's running his own life. Doing his own spirit thing. Own soul thing. Hello? He's hiding behind his faith. And all of a sudden, I'm a problem, okay? What's my problem going to be? I need to get him to move out of my space where I can occupy my space. So I tell him to give a dollar. He gives a dollar. I tell him five. He gives five. I tell him ten. Then I holler 50 and he draws up. Hello? So now I've got to get him out of my space. So what am I going to do? Well, he loves me. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to come over here and I'm going to preach to him. Okay? I'm going to tell him how blessed giving is. I'm going to tell him how blessed obedience is. What happens, as Brother Brad says, when you walk on top of the water and need the miracle, I'm going to tell him, and every time I do, I'm going to nudge him to go that extra step. Hello? But he's not used to that territory. He's more along the lines of a fiver. Hello? Giving a five in the offering. So I can't get him to move, okay? So what am I going to do next? The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to really bear down on his conscience. I know I should have obeyed God. I don't feel right not obeying God. I'll obey him next time. Well, the next time, it'll be 100. Can you say amen? And now he's going through the whole thing. But I'm dealing with his conscience. And what I'm trying to get him to do is move out of his safety zone. Move out of his spot, his place, his space where I can have my place in him. Okay? So now all of a sudden he won't listen to that, okay? I'll have the prophet come by and prophesy to him. All right? I lay it down on him, and I'm still pulling on him, and he's praying, God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. Okay? So he don't listen to me. And now finally, all of a sudden, I will take and I'll deal with him through my word. Every time he picks up that Bible, it'll say $100. I don't care what scripture he reads, it'll be the same thing. Can you say amen? Can't get away from it. Every time it does, there'll come a tug on his heart. Oh, God, use me. Oh, God, bless me. Oh, God. Hello? And finally, if he don't listen, I'll reach down and pick up a 2x4 and nail him right between the eyes. And I'll pull on him so hard that he'll move out of his place. Because now, Oh, his world is turning upside down. His life is decaying. His family is disintegrating. His job is gone. His money and his cow, his rooster won't crow. His hen won't lay eggs. Hello? And I got his attention now. Okay? I got him out of his space. Now, what am I going to do? I'm going to get my space. I've got my space back now. Okay? Now, the question is, what are you going to do? You're in a place you don't know what to do. What are you going to do? You going to stand there for the rest of your life and look? Can you say amen? I've got him where I want him. But now he's got to decide what he's going to do. Okay? Now, I've got my space, and what is he going to do? You going to stand there? You got to do something. That is exactly my point. The minute God gets us at a place where we've never been this way before, the first thing I want to do is go right back where I was and get my space back from God. And then I complained to Brother Scotty, Sister Teresa, pray for me. I don't understand what's happening in my life. Come on, folks. Somebody breathe. It's going to get better, I hope. Amen. And so now he's right back where he started at. This is what is our problem in the church. God, we just seem to go in revolving doors, in and out, in and out, in and out. Same thing every time. Pray for them every week, week after week after week, for God to get in their space. What he doesn't realize is I have a ministry for him. I have a walking on the water experience for him. I've got things for him that he's never even touched or thought of, but as long as he runs his life, I cannot do with him what I want to do with him. Now, what happens, okay? I get him out of there. It says, number one, he says, and God's space, go back and remember where you've fallen from. Okay? How many of you remember when you first saved? First received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My Lord, we couldn't keep you slapped out of church. Say amen. Be down here cutting chewing gum out of the carpet, and half the church will be down here for a little wad of chewing gum. Amen. Everything we want to do, want to read, want to pray. Amen. What's happened to us in the meantime? Hello? What's happened? Now you got to have a potluck dinner to get them come once every year, seemed like. Amen. And so what happens here? He said, go back and do your first works over. What were the first works that you ever did with God? You repented. And when you did, it made you something new. It put the life of God in you. It put God in his space in your life. Hello? And then it was glory, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's amen. And now all of a sudden, as time goes by, we mature. We get where by faith we determine what the will of God is for us. What I want, not what God wants. Okay? And all of a sudden I find myself as the life of God begins to diminish. Now, let's go on. He says, number one, if you don't repent. Now, these folks are doing all these works up here, people. They're still active in church. They still got discernment. They still got a thunder against evil. Listen to their testimony. Bless God, I told God I'd do anything he wanted me to do but give him $100. And he's right back where he started at. Okay? Not growing. So what happens, okay? As you begin to look at this, he says, number one, look on down in verse 4. thou hast left thy first love. Okay? This word love here is agape. It means the love of God. And what it indicates is that it's God's love for me. Thank God he loved you and I and saved us and delivered us. Can you say amen? But what it doesn't tell you is that agape love is a two-way thing. It's not only love from him to me, but it's love from me to him. I could not love him till he shed his love abroad in my heart, and then I loved him. Can you say amen? So first agape, that first love in your heart, your love for him, has got to always be there. And if it's not now, he said, do the first works over and get it back where it belongs now. Church, when that trumpet sounds, let me tell you, if the life of God's not in you, you're going to be left on the ground any way about it. But if that life of God is in you, it'll hear a sound above everything else, just like you sit in a church and you can hear the voice of God when nobody else is. Why? Because that's the life of God, and he chose to activate you in that situation. Amen? So now, it's the agape love. What, Brother Day, I tell you, I love going to church. I love going to church. I love going to church too. But going to church to me is more than just showing up at church. It's having the life of God deliver me something in that situation. Can you say amen? So what happens here, okay? Look on down in verse 5. Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. Repent. Well, I got works, I got faith, I got patience, I got endurement, I've got discerning of the spirit, and I need to repent? Yeah. Why? What happened to your first love? What happened when you're not putting God first anymore? How many things a day that I find myself, the minute God begins to deal with me about something, I think of 5,000 things I got to do need to be done right then. Can you say amen? And if I found out if I'm doing them, if I go ahead and do them, it costs me something in my heart that it's hard to gain back because I have to repent for not doing what the Lord wanted me to do. So what does he say here? Okay. Or else, if you don't repent, I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now the candlestick here was when Aaron went into the Holy of Holies. It lit up the place when the veil would come down. He would be in there in total darkness. And as a result of it, he would light the lampstand or the candlestick so that he could see how to serve God, especially in the darkness. Can you say amen? Now, he said, if you don't repent and do your first works over, I am going to come and remove the light that you see to serve me by. And then you will be hunting somebody to prophesy to you. Somebody explain the Bible to you. Somebody tell you what your problem is. But the candlestick is gone. How many people can you name like that today? I'm talking about preachers. I can name a fistful of them immediately. They call me, Brother Dave, what's God saying now? If you don't know, quit preaching. The way I look at it, or repent and get your anointing back. Now, as a result of it, he says, he will come and remove, look at the wording. I will remove thy, which is singular, possessive. It means thy shirt, thy Bible, thy seat, hello. It's personal. It means that the light of God that shows you how to serve God in your life, that he will come and remove it out of your life and leave you wandering in darkness in this hour that we're in. Now, this is a rough one, so stay with me. Okay? So much for unconditional eternal security. No such thing. Now, he goes on and he makes another statement. I will remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. Except thou repent. Repent and get back. Now, you're sitting in the same place you was. Have you repented? I guarantee you hadn't repented because he hadn't seen anything that he's done wrong yet. That's why the word is so important, to heed to it, to admonish us, to exhort us, to reprove us of these things. Amen. When I look at him and say, brother, you're spending too much time on ball games. You're spending too much time on Facebook. You're spending too much time moaning, groaning, and griping, and growling. Get out of the God space. Put him in there. And his brother Brad will say, a new vision will come. And you'll rise up above it and walk somewhere where you've never walked with God before. Amen. So in order to move, you got to see something wrong with what you do. Well, I ain't done nothing. Remember when there's kids and a couple of them, your cousins, get into it. I ain't done nothing. Hello? I ain't done nothing. But as long as he sits there, that's the way it's going to be. Now, he goes on here, okay? The problem is that the Grim Reaper marches on in our lives. And we all have a destiny with him at one time or other in some place in our lives. Okay? I'll be 79 years old next Monday. And I was there in 1960, knew the church and what was all happening, and watched the thing begin to unfold that everybody's trying to minister to the humanistic side of man rather than the spiritual side. It's brought us to where we are today, okay? Now, as a result of this, during that time, there'd been a lot of changes involved in the church world. One thing I see is this, that there is so much teaching. I believe in financial blessings. I believe in prosperity. As long as you use it for the right way. All money is good for is to promote the kingdom of God. That's all it's good for. To be used some way for the kingdom of God. It can make it your life easier going from trip to trip. Hello? It can make it, isn't it neat in the summertime, get up with air conditioning in the house? And not have come down here with sweating like a wild man. Hello. So let's look and let's finish this up, okay? He takes and he looks at this thing and he realizes, I'm not where I ought to be with God. Then where are you supposed to be with God? Because the Grim Reaper is going to come by one day. And he's going to call you out of here, and the day will come when, whether you like it or not, you're going to be standing before God Almighty in the judgment throne of God. Okay? And then the books are going to be open of everything that you've ever done that you have not repented of. And then the book of life is going to be opened. And you, if your name is not there, you're going to begin. How many of you know that man just loves to plead his case? Any of you married folks ever had a loud discussion? Whose side was you on? You was on yours. Can you say amen? That's whose you were on. And sometimes it's hard to see the other person's side. I asked Gloria one time, we've been married about 30 years at the time, I think. And I asked her, I said, did you marry me with the intentions of changing me? She said, of course. I said, after 30 years, how's that working out for you? So she walked on through the house. She said, just fine after I found out how to handle you. She walked on through the house. I walked in there in the living room, looked at her. I said, well, now how's that? She said, I just sick the Lord on you. I said, that'll do it. Because the first thing he does is make me move out of his space and put him back there, and immediately, can you say, immediately things change in my life and everything else. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Now, as a result of it here, what he is saying to you and I is, the day's going to come when you stand before the grim reaper, and your name is not in no longer in the Lamb books of life, because the candlestick has already been removed from your life and you weren't even aware of it. You mean to tell me I can lose my salvation? Yep. You're going to stand and plead your case before God. You're going to tell him that you've got works, patience, discerning, and you've got a consciousness of evil. And you're going to build your case, but it's not going to do any good. You've got to have the life of God. In this last hour, there are voices crying with some of the most ungodly interpretations of the Bible that I have ever heard in all of my born days. And the people that are getting caught up in it just blow my mind. Amen. And I say, Lord, whatever you do, let me make it through. Keep me with the life of God in me, that when that day comes, you won't say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Iniquity? Lawlessness. Do you understand what he's doing sitting there in my space? He's being lawless. He's breaking my commandments and my laws. And if he loses that candlestick, God help you. In the name of Jesus. We call it revival. See? We come to have a revival, repent, get back where we ought to be with God, get his back in his place. Then the next thing you know, here comes life alone. You got to take care of that. Here comes a few waves alone, Peter, and you go right back where you came from. Hallelujah. And it's up to you and I. Whatever you do in this final days, keep the life of God alive in you at all cost. Okay? Because when that trumpet sounds, or when you leave here, you better have it right. In the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.